You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of CROI 2008, the 15th Conference on Retroviruses and Opportunistic Infections. The conference took place in Boston, Massachusetts from February 3rd through February 6th, 2008.
Welcome. This is Bonnie Goldman, Editorial Director of the Body Pro. Right now, I'm in the poster session where researchers are standing in front of their posters. There's nothing like hearing the results of research directly from those who have actually conducted the research. It is these women and men who are transforming HIV treatment and care. In this podcast, the researchers will introduce themselves and then summarize their study. After their summary, I'll ask a few questions. Accompanying me on this interview is Dr. Gerald Perrone, a clinician and researcher who is the director of the AIDS Research and Treatment Center of the Treasure Coast in Fort Pierce, Florida.
My name is Francisco Blanco, and I'm an internist, and I work in the infectious disease department of the Hospital Carlos III in Madrid. And my study deals on the exposure to antiretrovirals and risk for advanced liver fibrosis. Is there a harmful effect of drug-related metabolic alterations? So this study includes 681 HIV-positive patients, non-infected and co-infected with HCV. And we have done, we have performed a fiber scan in them just to assess liver fibrosis, and we have wanted to assess which factors are associated with advanced liver fibrosis. And we have found that in the multivariate analysis, classical risk factors such as age, alcohol abuse, glucose, and elevated ALT values are associated with advanced liver fibrosis. Interestingly, the CD4 cell count, a low CD4 cell count, associates with advanced liver fibrosis. And also, although not in multivariate analysis, but in the univariate analysis, the time on any antiretroviral therapy and exposure to DDI or D4T and on lopinavir and on any PI associates with advanced liver fibrosis. And inversely, nevirapine associates inversely with advanced liver fibrosis. So we can observe two antagonist effects, namely, the decrease in liver fibrosis by initial immune reconstitution and increase in hepatic fibrosis, maybe by the toxic effects of antiretroviral therapy, maybe due to metabolic toxicity, either by mitochondrial toxicity induced by NRTIs or maybe by hyperlipidemia induced by PIs. This is a summary of the abstract.
Hi, I'm Jerry Perrone from the AIDS Research and Treatment Center of the Treasure Coast. It looks like in your patient population, the majority of them had infection. A lot of them were intravenous drug users and had infection with either hepatitis C or hepatitis B. Is that true?
Well, 77% within the group of advanced liver fibrosis had infection by hepatitis C versus 50% within the group without advanced liver fibrosis.
How confident are you in the ability of FibroScan elastometry to predict the degree of liver fibrosis? Has this technique been validated compared with liver biopsies in HIV-infected patients?
Well, in HIV-infected patients, FibroScan is a technique up to now validated, I mean, which has demonstrated a good correlation with biopsy in assessing liver fibrosis, above all in mild and severe degrees of fibrosis, in a moderate degree of fibrosis. But there is a very good correlation, above all, to assess mild and advanced liver fibrosis.
Have you tried combining elastometry with some of the blood-based algorithms for determining fibrosis to see if that would improve the receiver operating characteristics of your curve for determining accuracy?
Not in this study.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, the elastometry is a non-aggressive tool that permits to assess liver fibrosis in a higher number of patients than liver biopsy. And that is why we could perform it in more than 600 patients. And I mean, I think it has a very good advantage in comparison with liver biopsy. And this advantage permits to carry out studies like this, which liver biopsy would not.
In your center, are you now using elastometry instead of liver biopsy for clinical management of your patients?
Yeah. And it's nearly a routine tool. I mean, we use it in nearly every HIV patient because we think that HIV itself induces, obviously, hepatic toxicity, and it is very interesting to assess, to study, the degree of liver fibrosis in every HIV-positive patient. So as far as we have available this technique, this very accessible technique and not aggressive, we use it in nearly every patient, and we can follow the evolution of the liver fibrosis, mainly in co-infected patients, but also in mono-infected HIV-positive patients.
Is this all throughout Spain that this is being used, or just your clinic?
No. Our clinic was one of the first clinics in Spain with this technique available. But at the moment, this technique is really available in several hospitals all over Spain.
Jerry, is it available in the United States? Is it commonly used?
Not commonly used. It's available in selected centers, but it's becoming more commonly available.
Okay. Yeah, in Spain, it happens the same. It's becoming more and more available. But it's not exceptional now.
I see. Good. Okay, because, looking for a non-invasive way is very, very important. Many patients don't want to participate in a liver biopsy.
Yeah, of course.
Or three or four.
It's very important, for example, in co-infected patients to take the decision of treating or not treating, for example, because if you have a co-infected patient with a low degree of fibrosis, you can wait, for example, just to start treatment. And if you have a higher degree of fibrosis, you have to start treatment soon. And this decision, you can take this decision following this technique.
I'm curious, do you see regression of fibrosis in patients that are successfully treated? Can you track regression of fibrosis with elastometry in your successfully treated hepatitis C patients?
We have proved that in successfully treated patients, fibrosis regresses. Yeah. This is something that we have proved with the elastometry.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
This has been a report on CROI 2008 from The Body Pro. For more podcasts and full coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/CROI2008.